Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert brings a series of messages out of 1 Peter. So get close to your radio and have a Bible read and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, as we take a look in the book.
Yeah, he didn't make no preparation for God. He didn't have God in his heart. How many of you know that's what worldliness is? Worldliness is keeping God out. Worldliness is leaving God out your life. See, you can't live a life without God expecting to go and live with God. See, that was his problem. See, there's going to be a lot of rich people going to hell, but there's going to be a lot of poor people going to hell all because they left God out their life. See, if you want to go to heaven, then you need to make preparation and let God come and live with you today. If you let him live with you today, then he'll let you live with him someday. Yeah. And so you got to, what to do the rest of your life? Keep God's judgment day. And see, the thing that makes me behave as a pastor is not that I'm a good pastor, I'm a godly pastor. No. I have Eve in my heart like everybody else, but I know that God is watching. And I know I got to give an account. See, the reason I'm not even no prosperity preacher and naming and claiming and blabbing and grabbing is because I know I got to give an account for how I preach this word. I got to give an account on judgment day. Oh, in other words, I got to keep the end in mind. But let me go and give you the second thing here. And this is it. Keep serving God in your present. Keep serving God in your present. So this whole passage done taught us three things. Number one, you keep sinning in your past. Is I'm right about it? Yes. And then the second thing that we have learned, and which is the first thing today, is to keep God's judgment in your future. But you keep serving God in your present. Look at what Peter says here in the text. Are you with me, Bible way? He says in verse number 8, and above all things, have fervent charity. And that word charity means love. Among yourselves. Somebody say yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Notice what he says. Have hospitality. Somebody say hospitality. Hospitality one to another. Say one to another. Without grudging. And every man has received the gift, even so minister same one to another. Say one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, above all things, have fervent love. Have fervent love. You know what that word fervent means? It not only just means hot, but it means to scratch out kind of love. It's just like a runner. When a runner is running a race and when they get close there to the finishing line, what do? They scratch out. They scratch out as they're crossing the line. Somebody else getting ready to beat them up. Before they beat them, they scratch out. They scratch out. That's what you got to do in your love. Some of you are getting beat by the devil in your relationships. That's because you're trying to wash your way in. Yes, it is. Most husbands, they run hard trying to catch their wife. Once they catch their wife, most of the time, that wife got to reach and grab them and say, come on, baby. He done got lazy now. He's sitting down. You got to stretch out. Stretch out. Because if you ain't stretching out, somebody else is still running. See, if you don't want us, somebody else will. You got to stretch out in your love. And the Bible says that kind of love covers a multitude of sin. You ain't just focusing on a person's fault and they done this, and then yesterday they done this, and then last week they done this, and the first of the year they done this, and then see last Christmas they done this and done all of that. No, you're not focusing on that. You're covering up the sin. You know, a good illustration of that in the Bible was Noah's two sons. Remember Noah had a vineyard. Oh, and that vineyard got the best of him. See, Noah was trying to be a social drinker. Hello, somebody. And Noah ended up getting drunk. And when you end up getting drunk, a feeling come over you. To start pulling off your clothes. Hello, somebody. I know what I'm talking about. A feeling come over him. And the Bible says that his younger son saw it. And I believe not only he saw it, I believe his son, Ham's son, I think, saw it. Canaan. Because when Noah woke up, the Bible says when Noah knew what was done unto him. Wait a minute now, what was done to you? I thought they just looked. See, some theologian says a homosexual act took place. That Canaan came in there, not only just looked, he came in there and done something. Because he cursed Canaan, not cursing all black people, Ham, like a lot of folks thought. He cursed one tribe, Canaan. But the Bible says that Noah's other two sons, they came in the room. They didn't even look at the daddy. They just bagged back. They took a garment and they just bagged back. And they just covered up. Covered up dad. That's what love does. Love don't go and peek and take the covers off and say, ooh-wee, look at him, y'all. Come here, did y'all see this over here? Love don't, listen, I'm not gossiping, but let me just tell you what happened at church. Did you hear about what happened down at church? Love don't do that. Love don't even look at it. Love won't even look. Love don't focus. And let me tell you, if you start looking at it, there's going to be two responses when you look at it. You're going to either broadcast it or you're going to participate in it. A lot of times when we used to run home and tell mama, something, mama said, yeah, but what was your part? Love covers multitude of sin. You got to learn how to cover up some stuff. Cover up people's faults. You got to learn how to, as Jesus did, look beyond our faults and see our needs. That's what we got. And you got to show some hospitality without fussing and grudging and use your gift. See, if suffering people going to make it, and this is the context, Peter is talking to suffering people. If suffering people going to make it, they got to have, number one, love. And then number two, they got to have somebody serving them, using their gift to serve one another. Yeah, if you're going to make it, you got to have, number one, love, but then you got to serve one another with your gift. Listen, if you save, you got a gift. If you save, you got a gift. Not only do you have a talent, when you're born, the first time, your mama and daddy, you got a talent. Yeah, but once you get saved, God, your new heavenly Father, he gives you a gift. Hello, somebody. but he gave you that gift to serve one another. The church is the richest place on earth, but it looks like the poorest place on earth because we ain't using our gifts and talent to serve one another. Why is that? For several reasons. One of the reasons is when a gifted and a talented person often come into the church, rather than the church receiving them with some hospitality and open up the door, jealousy comes out. They meet them with some jealousy. They meet them with some envy. They meet them with some backbite at the door. And so that gifted and talented person that God has sent to come there and be a blessing to the church, they end up running that person out the church. But another reason that the church can't progress is because that gifted person often is a worldly person. See, just because you're rich don't mean that you are mature. Just because you are successful in the world don't mean that you don't have to come into the church and get discipled. And what so often happens, people are so busy out in the world that they don't have no time to serve God in the church. In other words, then they have buried their gift. Just like the man did in Matthew chapter 25, God gave him a talent. And the Bible says he went and dug a hole, buried his talent in the ground, and went on out there and started playing. And that's what's happening in the church today. We got too many people that are scrattling the fence. And they are playing out here 6 days a week. And then on Sunday, then they run on back in the church. But then Sunday evening, and they back out in the world. They have buried they are gifts, so the church don't even benefit, and all we're going around is bragging. Oh, I got this person in the church. He's the CEO of that church, and he's a doctor, he's a lawyer, he's this of that profession, of that profession. Yeah, but what are they doing for your church? Then we got other folks that are gifted and they are talented, but they are prostituting their gift. They are selling their gift out to the highest bidder. Whoever can pay me the most, that's who I'm going to work for. Think about how many singers started out in the church, but they end up in the world. Think about how many actors start out in the church, end up in the world. Think about how many athletes start out in the church, but they end up out in the world. Why is that? They are selling themselves out to the highest bidder, whoever can pay the most. And see, a lot of time when you go out there in the world and you are a singer or something like that, you got to sign a contract. So you can't even put on a free concert at the church if you want to. You got to go back and talk to them folks that you done signed a contract with. They may say, all we can let you do is sing one time or two free concerts, but the rest of the time, you on us. You mine. You done signed, in other words, you done signed your life away. God didn't give you that beautiful ability to sing like an angel, to go out there and sing for the world. He gave you that talent and gift to sing for the glory of God. And see, the reason that a lot of people don't use their gift and talent is because they just don't have the faith. Oh, it's getting a lot quieter now. I meant for it too, because I'm coming home. Yeah. Because that's where we live at. See, notice, he says, use your gift to serve one another. He didn't say use your gift to charge one another. Look, anything this church need, it's already here. But we are using our gift to serve the world. You can type real good, but the church won't benefit from your typing. The world benefit from your typing. You can drive real good, but the church don't benefit from your driving. The world benefit from your driving. Some of you're in the medical profession. The world benefit from your medicine, but the church don't. We got sick folks right here. We got folks that need to be driven somewhere right here. We need to learn how to use our gifts and service to one another. We got barbers right here. You ought to be giving out some free haircuts in the name of the Lord. We got some beauticians right here. You need to be giving out some free beauty stuff. Amen. Getting the hair looking good and facials and what have you, nails and what have you. In the name of the Lord. See, when people see us loving each other like that, that's how Jesus says, then they're going to know that we are truly his disciples when they see us loving one another. When folks see that, hey, you didn't charge her anything. Why you didn't charge? Because she's a member of my church. But that takes faith to do that. You say, Pastor, I can't be doing all that free stuff like that. I would like to do it, but I went broke. No. Listen. That's the reason that you are broke. You don't make progress with your hands closed. You make progress when you learn how to open your hands. Yeah. Keeping your hands closed ain't working for you. You just living from paycheck to paycheck. You just living from just enough when you could be living on more than enough if you learn how to open your hands. God can't bless you until you learn how to open your hand. You need to learn how to make your living by your giving. See, when you learn how to give, God will give you so much. The Bible says he'll give you good measures. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, that men shall give unto your bosom. Listen. If you want something that you never had, you got to do something you never done. Did you hear what I said? If you want something that you ain't never had before, then you're going to have to start really taking some giant-sized faith steps in the name of the Lord. See, the thing that's blocking your blessing, it ain't the white man downtown. It's not the Mexican man that's coming uptown. It ain't the Chinese man. It ain't some other man. But you blocking your own blessing because you ain't got enough faith. You come in the church and you sing about faith. You pray about faith. You talk about faith. But you don't take a step. Sometimes you got to take a leap of faith. I know I'm right about it. See, everybody got problems, but how do you respond to your problem? You can go around talking about your problem. You can go around having a pity party about your problem. Or you can start trusting God and taking some steps of faith. Oh, I'm reminded over in the 1 Samuel chapter 17, how Israel had a giant-sized problem by the name of Goliath. Goliath was blocking their blessing for 40 days. David showed up with some sandwiches and stuff to bring to his brothers. And he said, wait a minute, who is this guy out here? This uncircumcised Philistine. Did I just hear him curse God out? Did I just hear him curse God's people out? He said, he's been doing that for 40 days, David. That's why we just stuck down here. Y'all stuck down here and y'all letting them curse God out and curse y'all out. David said, I'll fight him. He said, oh, David, you ain't no beer to fight him. David said, oh, yeah, I bet I'll fight him. Saul is scared to fight him, David. The army here is scared to fight him, David. David said, but I ain't scared to fight him. I'm ready to fight him. They took him to Saul. And Saul said, well, let me give you some armor to fight him. They put the armor on David. David said, no, I can't go to the battlefield with somebody else's armor. And that's a very important principle. You can't go to the battlefield with somebody else's gift and talent. You got to take your own gift. You got to take your own talent to the battlefield for the Lord. And they said, what make you think you can beat him, David? David said, listen, the same God that helped me kill a lion, the same God that helped me kill a bear, it's going to be the same God that's going to help me kill this giant. And David picked up him 5 smooth stones because he knew Goliath had 4 brothers. So just in case they wanted to get in this, he had something for them. And David went to the battlefield and he began to swing his sling. He says, Goliath, you coming to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I'm coming to you, boy, in the name of the Lord. And David let that rock go and knocked Goliath down. Then David ran, got his own sword, and cut off his head. How did David beat him? Because David loved the Lord. See, when you love the Lord, then you're going to use your gift and your talent to help God's people. See, if you want to help God's people, start loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you can love your neighbor as you love yourself. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus came down here, and he loved us, didn't he? Isn't that what Jesus did? Then Jesus healed the sick, yeah, and charged them nothing. Then he opened up the eyes of the blind and charged them nothing. Then he make the deaf and the dumb hear and talk and charged them nothing. Then he make the leper clean and charged them nothing. Then he make the lame walk and charged them nothing. Then he feed 5,000 with 2 fishes, 5 loaves of bread, and didn't charge them nothing. Didn't he die on that cross for your sin and my sin and charged us nothing? Listen, so that tells me that if Jesus can come and pour out his love and do something for us and charge us nothing, what then should I do? If God done gave me a gift to preach, I need to be preaching for the glory of God. If God done gave you the ability to teach, get up and teach for the glory of God. If God done gave you the ability to sing, get up and sing for the glory of God. If God done gave you the ability to pray, get on your knees and pray for the glory of God. If you got the ability to drive, use your ability for the glory of God. If God done gave you the ability to cook, cook for the glory of God. Whatever the ability that God done gave you, use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. That's why the songwriter said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. What about you today? That's what you ought to do.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.